May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As you might have guessed, I have some background in family counseling and specifically in the area of marriage and interventional pastoral care. I remember reading a book that had a chapter on how to fight fair. Now, I would imagine that most couples would rather not fight at all, but things happen, right? The conflicts grow out of differences, and sometimes arguing and fighting ensues. The premise of the book was that if you're going to fight, well, then maybe you should learn some ground rules, some ideas about how to fight fair. And those words echoed in my mind when I was working with a young couple. It's got to be over 20 years now. They'd had some difficulties, and the office and the tension in the office was thick and heavy. And they were arguing with each other, and suddenly I was no longer a part of the conversation. I watched and listened, hoping, praying that maybe there'd be some type of break in the conversation that really wasn't a conversation. They were completely talking past each other. Suddenly, the exchange became combative, and the wife slapped her husband. He swiped back at her, catching a necklace around her neck and breaking it. And like that, everything just stopped. And they picked up the pieces of that necklace and placed them in the woman's hand. And she held them as the husband put his hand on her shoulder in support. And we all looked at that necklace that suddenly became symbolic of their broken relationship. Tears continued, sighs were deep, and they began to listen to each other. In follow-up sessions, they even demonstrated a renewed investment in their relationship, a renewed vows, a renewed commitment to that relationship. And they even found a sense of humor. One of our subsequent sessions, they brought a little figurine. It was a boxer. And on the bottom of it, they had written, "Fight fair." You know, friends, I believe that we can all agree that relationships are often challenging, frequently difficult, and sometimes downright heartbreaking. This is the third in a series of messages on creating momentum in our life, and we're working in our lives, and we're working with the acronym DRIVE, D-R-I-V-E, from Pastor Michael Slaughter's book, Momentum for Life. The D of DRIVE stands for devotion to God. The R stands for readiness of lifelong learning, to continue to learn. Just give you a quick example of that. Dr. Kim came into the church so excited this morning. She'd been at a recital of a man who won the Chopin competition, and she was just so excited about that. Now she's an accomplished pianist and organist. I think we can all agree, right? But she's still learning, right? Still excited about the craft. Still wanting to hear beauty revel in the accomplishments of another. Readiness for lifelong learning. The I denotes investing in key relationships or real relationships, and V indicates vision for the future, and E stands for taking care of our bodies, eating and exercise. And today we're dealing with the I in DRIVE, investing in key relationships. Now, Pastor Mike Slaughter is fond of the Psalms, and he particularly likes Psalm 128, which we read earlier this morning. It's a psalm of ascent, which is basically Psalms 120 to 134. The psalm is in our Hebrew scriptures, and it's a psalm of ascent. Psalms of ascent were likely used by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem as part of a festival celebration, or recognizing that the king is ascending into the palace, the throne. And the Hebrew word is translated as ascent, means to go up It means to take steps upward or stairs. There's a connotation of a journey implied in these psalms. And scholars frequently observe that the Psalms of Ascent deal with matters of daily life, places of residence, routine activities, the importance of a spouse and children, as well as extended family and friends. And Pastor Slaughter likes 128 in particular because it points to the importance of faith, work, and family. The first verse is an expression of devotion to God. Remember that the drive of the DRIVE acronym. We show that devotion to God, and then the second verse gives us the assurance of that the worshiper will eat the fruit of their labor, that their work is meaningful and supports their family and themselves. Then Psalm 128 moves from work to relationships. It's important to realize that the two, work and family, do not compete against each other, but are rather complementary to each other. Slaughter writes, quote, "When the object of our devotion is right, our work and relationships unite as an honorable, excellent offering to God." He continues, "Think of the amount of time and energy we spend at work and with our loved ones each week compared to the paltry hour we spend at church. God is not nearly interested in the little religious ceremonies we call worship services as in how we live our lives day to day," end quote. Now, when I first read those words, I thought, well, I'm not sure I'd put it that way. But I'd also say he's not wrong. He's not wrong. We need to know that we are not judged by what we do in this sanctuary, friends. We're judged by what we do out there in the world, the difference that we can make in the lives of others, the relationships that we forge on this side of eternity, and the good works that we do for all people. No, we're not going to be judged by what we do in the sanctuary. Our work and our relationships are the truest demonstration of our worship. Now, wait a minute. Worship is important. And I want you to come and be a part of this praise and thanksgiving, because what we do in this place is understand who we are in relationship to God and with each other. We are defined by our worship so that we can go out into that world and make a difference in the lives of others. I want you to understand me clearly. We are to define ourselves so that out there in the world we remain to the highest regards that we speak about here in the sanctuary. So I ask these questions. What would your psalm of ascent look like? What would be the daily task that you would talk about, that you would lift up to God? How does your work reflect your faith? How do you reflect your faith in work? Then how are you or your work or your family blessed through your devotion to God? How are you a blessing and investing in the relationships with which you are blessed? So what does investing in real relationships mean to you? What does it mean for our relationships to reflect our devotion to God? What are the elements and essential steps to developing real relationships that are pleasing to God? First, pretty simple, be present. Be present. Have you ever introduced yourself to someone new in your life and you forget their name right away? Guilty. Sometimes it's well, you don't have to raise your hands, but that, you know, I was. Confession is good for the soul. But here's the deal, you know. Often what we're doing, friends, is we're thinking about what we're going to say and how we're going to respond to somebody when they're speaking to us first. We're trying to think of clever platitudes to share or how you would handle their situation, when really what you need to do is just listen. Two ears, one mouth. Listen and then speak. I remember a man who came to my office after I was appointed to my second church. I'd been in that church for 8 years in charge of the youth ministry there. And he came in and he said, "I hear you moving on, Pastor Jack." I said, "Yeah, yeah, gonna have my own church and yada, yada, all that stuff." And he said, "I will never forget," with tears in the eyes, he's saying, "I will never forget when Michael was sick and you visited him in the hospital. And I listened to him tell me this story. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, when was Michael in the hospital? I don't even remember it. I don't know if Michael would remember it. And he might not have remembered what I said or the prayer that we prayed. But he remembers that I was there. Dad remembered at least. And I trust the dad. That's so true of our time together, friends. Just being present to one another is really important. To be in each other's presence, or even a phone call, a card, something to say that I'm thinking about you and you're in my heart and mind. It's far more meaningful to sit with somebody who's in a tough time and just say, boy, that really stinks, than it is to offer any platitudes. I think the words of Jesus as he left the sides of the disciples, you know, he left and he said, I will be with you always to the end of the age. It's important. Presence is important. Second, I want us to know that our relationships with God and each other should be mere reflections. The two great laws of Jesus as he shared them was to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandments, Jesus says. So both our relationships with God and with each other need to be reflective of each other. In fact, we love each other because God first loved us, our scriptures tell us. That we have that ability. And what is love but to seek the greatest spiritual needs of another person? That's the love that the scriptures tell us about. So we need to be mindful of how we reflect the love of Christ in the world today, in the marketplace, in our workplace, in every interaction we have with another human being. So relationships are based in love. They should reflect that deep connection with God and a concern for all people. Remember the words from our scripture lesson from James, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So one of our scriptures tell us today that love is central to our faith. And the other one says, get going, because you've only got a little time on this earth. And if you're spending that time in some other way than that reflects love, you could be wasting that time. What is your life but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes? The third attribute element of investing in relationships is the mentor mentality. And this is where I'll look at my scout leaders, right? You're mentoring these young people. You're shaping their lives. We do that in the church as well, with confirmation and Bible studies and everything that we do to make sure that others are being built up in the body of Christ. When I entered ministry, there were these great giants of faith in pastoral ministry. There's Bill Ritter and Ralph Janka and Ed Duncan and a guy by the name of Paul Blomquist. You know Paul? In heaven now? He was one of the giants several times he would call me, take me aside, share words of wisdom. When I came out of seminary, there was a cool young pastor who had written a confirmation curriculum that I took the training on and used for years. His name was Rich Peacock. We remember Rich, do we? Yeah. And now here I am, old. And I mentor people. I just got back from a whole day in Lansing area, mentoring young pastors who are going into ministry. You see, we're responsible, friends, for the transmission of faith. That's one of the vows of my ordination vows, and I think everybody ought to have that vow, to be responsible for the transmission of the faith in the world today, the foundation for which we live and move and have our being in the real world. This mentoring mentality involves an important element of transmitting our faith to others. So what does it mean to be a mentor? What does it mean to shape a young life? To offer. It's changed over the years. I remember when I had mentors early in my ministry, a lot of it was, especially the official mentors, you know, the ones that were designated to you, You had to fill out paperwork and all that kind of stuff. And now it's just more organic. We sit and we talk and we enjoy each other's company. And I learn as much from my mentees as I do that I hope they learn from me. It's an enriching relationship. And we can learn from our children as well, even as we mentor them in any number of programs in the life of the church or in scouting programs, even 4-H. The fourth and final element of investing in relationships is being strategic. And I want to be careful here. Andy Stanley, pastor of North Community Church, writes this: our whole evangelism strategy is summed up in two words, invest and invite. Invest in relationships with unbelievers and at the appropriate time invite them to an environment where they can hear the gospel. And I want to make a distinction between strategic relationship and manipulative relationship, in saying that all relationships are strategic in the point that they have a purpose. They have a meaning. The Holy Spirit is strategic in terms of God's work on earth. The Apostle Paul writes about the church as the body of Christ, each of us contributing to it in some way that works with the rest of the body. It's strategic. It has a purpose. And when we work with each other in the church, and when we work with those in the community who are new to the church, we better be strategic in building that relationship. Otherwise, we will never achieve God's greatest purpose for our lives. So I ask yourselves this morning, as we study this drive concept that moves us forward with a momentum for life, ask yourself, who stands behind you as an investor in your life? Who has encouraged you, given you a break, given you a helping hand, or supported you in some way? Now ask yourself, who are you mentoring and guiding and coaching and leading? Who are you encouraging and building up? Who is receiving the intentional strategic time that you offer to them in your schedule and in your relationship? Relationships are always challenging. They require work. You know, to say that we love God with all our strength implies that there's a little work involved in loving God. It's the same for our relationships with each other. Relationships are always challenging, often difficult, and sometimes downright heartbreaking, and they're worth fighting for. And that's the word of God for the people of God this morning at Central United Methodist Church, in the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.